that's a secret code. Show me what was mine. As we kneel before the one-eyed king, his big old, his big old lazy eye.
Lazy Eye by the Minotaurs off the album The Thing. Great track from a local guy, Nathan Lahr, and his band, the Minotaurs. And before that, we heard the instrumental Minor Hexagons from Comic Wow. Cool album on Asthmatic Kitty, the label Asthmatic Kitty. And Peter Bradley and I were reading from Dave Eggers. I hope you caught that. Those were real treats.
How the Water Feels to the Fishes and How the Air Feels to the Birds. From How the Water Feels to the Fishes, Dave Eggers' collection of short stories. You've been listening to Dan and I right here on CFRU talk about books and music and other things, including Joshua Trees and Penny's Gadget. And
Mystic Lipstick.
And Mystic Lipstick. Keep an eye on Thursday mornings. We're carving out territory and trying to figure out what to do with these few empty hours to start Thursdays. And we're going to, Dan and I will be here in some capacity on Thursday mornings sometime in January.
It's a treat to spend Thursday morning with you. Thanks, man. A treat to spend it with you. I hope the listeners were enjoying that.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you're able to make it in, and I'm excited for the show. I think it'll be great. Happy holidays, and keep it locked to CFRU. This is these things that people make right here on CFRU.
Ah! Hello, you are listening to These Things That People Make on CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph, and today I'm interviewing my roommate AJ Withers, who I didn't even know this before it happened, but all of a sudden our kitchen became a chocolate factory and a cookie making factory, and in a period of a couple weeks my roommate AJ made 600 cookies of 20 different varieties and a whole bunch of chocolates. And so today These Things That People Make is a chocolate making show, and AJ is going to walk us through how to make caramels and also give a cookie recipe for the stained glass cookie. It's really exciting. I tried to pack a lot in, so there's going to be no breaks, and we're just going to go right through to the end. So this is AJ Withers and me, Sarah Mangle, in our kitchen talking about making chocolates. So here we are. Hi, AJ. What are you making? Can you describe what you have in front of you?
I have a bowl of half-melted chocolate. Mm-hmm. I am going to make some chocolates today and also tell you about how to make some different chocolates and cookies.
Great. So walk us, set up the scene. How big is the bowl?
So it's just a like cereal bowl, and I have a chunk of chocolate that you can get probably at a bulk food store. And I'm just microwaving it at medium heat, 30-second intervals.
Okay, so AJ is now putting it into the microwave.
And then I stir it.
In a ceramic bowl.
And then I microwave it, and then I stir it.
How many times?
Till it's melted.
And it's like pure, like what kind of...
This is just a dark chocolate.
It's just dark chocolate. With like milk chocolate?
You can do that with milk chocolate or with white chocolate.
Okay.
And in the bulk food store, there's probably... likely two different kinds of chocolate, depending on the store. Wafers or chunks. Wafers are more waxy and slightly cheaper. You can get chocolate for between like $3 a pound and $10 a pound.
Why is there such a range?
I don't know. Huh. Partly it depends what neighborhood you shop in.
Yeah.
And it's also the quality of chocolate. But most people will be so impressed by the shape of the chocolate or the fact that you learned how to melt chocolate yourself, they won't really notice the quality of the chocolate.
Huh.
Unless they know chocolate really well.
And is it like a thing where if you buy a lot in bulk, it's going to go down significantly? Like, do you buy a large amount?
It stays the same price.
No way.
Well, I've never tried to talk. I'm not really at the volume where I have a wholesaler or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, so now the chocolate is partially melted through. Yeah.
And so I'm trying to break it in half with my spoon,
because
I should have chopped it in half earlier, but I didn't. And it obviously melts faster if it's in smaller pieces. So, done. Back into the microwave.
And what is the end result? Like, are you going to add something to the chocolate?
Not this chocolate. I'm going to make it into caramels. So,
okay.
I'm going to put the caramel on top and in between the chocolate. But here's the easiest way to impress your friends and family with chocolate. Is get a bunch of white chocolate, melt it, pour in some dried cranberries. And you can also add pistachios. This year I did pumpkin seeds because they're green and they're not nuts. Some more people could eat them. Sprinkle some pumpkin seeds on top maybe to keep the color. Spread it on a piece of wax paper. Let it harden. You can harden it in the freezer.
Mm.
And then break it up into pieces. And then people are very impressed by that.
I think people generally don't think... Like, people think of making cookies, but they don't think of making chocolate.
Yep.
Okay. Why do you think that is? Okay, now is it melted?
Nope, not melted yet. So, and if you don't have a microwave, you can do it on your stove on a double boiler. Mm-hmm. So put water in the bottom and put it on top. However, if you get any steam into the chocolate, you'll ruin your batch, which has happened to me several times. So I used the microwave, and I felt really skitty about that, and then I started watching some professional chefs on YouTube who also use a microwave, and I don't feel
so
skitty about it anymore.
Yeah. So how long when you're heating it up in the microwave, how long are you putting it in for?
Well, you just do it every 30 seconds, so you kind of lose track. But this is probably time number 6.
Okay. So and you don't max it out, because otherwise you might burn it.
Yeah. And if you burn it, A, you can't, like, it's not, like, liquid. It's kind of hard and weird, and it also tastes burnt. And it's
not ideal.
Yeah. So, you don't want to do that. So this is probably going to be the last time.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the table, I have a spoon and a piece of wax paper.
That's about, it's about, like, what, 30 inches long by 17 inches?
Yeah.
Or something?
Normally what I do is I take several cookie trays and put wax paper in them so they're more mobile, but I'm not making a lot right now, and all our cookie trays are dirty due to a cracker production earlier in the day by another housemate.
Yeah.
So I'm just gonna, well, it's not totally melted. There's a little bit of chunks, but normally you can just stir it, mm-hmm. and those pieces will melt. And what I want to make sure is that if I only have a small amount of chocolate, that I use less than a third on the bottoms. So what I'm going to do...
Because you're going to layer it.
Yeah.
That's what you mean.
And the tops are bigger than the bottoms. So,
okay.
So what I do is I just have a teaspoon, or probably a teaspoon, and I just fill it, and I drop the chocolate onto the wax paper, and then I push it around, so I make a flat...
It's about the size of
wafer.
A toonie.
Yeah, a little bit larger than a toonie. And you just make it flat, and they don't have to be the same. This is like the second easiest chocolate that you can make.
Okay, great.
So you just do that to the whole piece of wax paper. So I'm going to do that, and then we can talk about other chocolates and cookies while I do it, because
sure.
It'll take a little while.
So I wanted to know if you grew up with, like, your mom making chocolates and cookies.
This is not really cookies. Every year we would make chocolates.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up in Alberta, and we make dulce de leche chocolates, or we call them turtles, which I'm going to do today. And that was very rare, and it was something that our family always did together every year. And it was really nice. It was, like, kind of my favorite holiday prep thing.
Mm-hmm.
Also because this year, the kid, there's a lot of spoon licking.
Yeah.
Which is really nice. So yeah, I just keep doing these. So the dulce de leche, I don't know how you make it. This is how you wouldn't make it, because it would be unsafe, and you or I or the radio station would be sued. So certainly, you would not take a can of sweetened condensed milk, sweetened, it has to be sweetened, and remove the label, and put it in a pot of boiling water for at least 2 hours, making sure that it's fully covered the whole time. There are warnings on the labels not to do that, and that's not how you would do it. So you have to figure out how to make dulce de leche on your own, and then you need to let your dulce de leche fully cool to make chocolates, otherwise it'll just melt through the chocolates and kind of suck. So we're still doing the bottoms of the turtles.
Yep, and how many are you going to have on here? You have maybe 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
So 8. Times 4 rows.
Yeah,
so. And you want to make sure that you have, like, at least a half an inch between the chocolates.
Uh-huh.
So you can get around them when you're putting the tops on. Just make sure you have a little bit of room for later. And then just do that. And it's like a pretty quick kind of little job, and they don't have to be round or perfect at all. Do you want to talk about cookies while I do this?
Yeah, totally.
So, this year I streamlined my cookie production.
And can you just, I would say in a short period of time you made a lot of cookies.
Yeah.
Like, how many cookies did you make?
About 600, but they're small, but about 600 in December.
And how many different kinds?
20.
20 different kinds.
Yeah. So this year though, one thing that I did was I had one dough that I modified for all of the cookies.
Okay.
So 20 different kinds of cookie. Actually, that's not true, because some of those cookies are actually muffins or scones, so that's like 5 kinds. But 15 kinds of cookie, one dough. So I took a dough out of the Martha Stewart Christmas magazine, and I'll tell you,
can you read
what it says. So it's 3 cups of flour, 3/4 teaspoons baking powder, and then the instructions are to omit if you're making thumb ball cookies or spritz cookies, or ball cookies, which I didn't do. A half a teaspoon of salt, 2 sticks of unsalted butter, or no salt and some salted butter, or a little bit of salt, and 2 sticks is 1 cup. a cup of sugar, one large egg, and 2 teaspoons of pure vanilla extract. And I slightly didn't follow her recipe fully, but basically you just cream the butter and the sugar, and then you beat it until it changes, kind of, it gets like fluffy and bright yellow. Then you add the rest of the wet, beat it, and then you pour in the dry and mix it. So then I would just add different things to different batches. I like divide it in half and add different things.
And then how many times did you increase that?
I multiplied it by 4 and did that several times.
Okay.
So I got some really thick fruit leather and I chopped it up and I put it in one of the kinds of cookies. That's delicious.
Fruit leather, like fruit on the go?
Yeah. The thicker ones than that, there's like a fruit source one. Mm-hmm. Chop them up. Good cookie that makes. Mostly I was just like, I wonder what this would be like. Mm. And then I made a cookie of it or a chocolate of it. And some of them are better than others.
Can you read them?
So I have a map. So I drew pictures of them all, and then I photocopied them and made a map because I'm giving.
Maybe
them
we could
guests.
Put the map on the website.
Sure. One of the kinds of cookies that I made from based on the Martha Stewart recipe was I rolled out the dough, and then I put a layer of raspberry jam and pumpkin seeds, or a layer of essentially like mint truffle insides.
What is a truffle?
So a truffle, the way that mint truffles happened in this household is I was trying to make mint chocolate, and if you add too much water to your chocolate, it screws it up, and it means that it won't melt properly, and it becomes really hard, or like too hard to work with. So too much mint oil, and so then I had to make truffles. So I just melted some butter into it, basically, and then let it harden, and then formed it into balls, and then dipped it in chocolate. So I used that while it was warm and spread it over the cookie dough, and then sprinkled sorbets over, and then put another layer of cookie dough, more truffle, sorbets, more cookie. So there were like 4 layers of cookie and... Wait, 5 layers of cookie and 4 layers of truffle.
Yum.
And then you put it in the fridge, that cookie, for at least 2 hours. And then you take it out. I did them overnight. So then the butter in the cookie hardens again, and the dough hardens, and you can cut it really easily. Yeah. And then you cut them into little squares or rectangles and then bake them. And you bake them at not for very long, probably like 12 minutes at 350. And they're really, really good. So,
what did you call those?
I called them mint score cookies.
Yeah. Yeah, they sound really good.
And then I did that with raspberry jam and pumpkin seeds also.
Yeah.
So that's one kind, and then you can take your standard vanilla dough, and instead of putting vanilla in it, you can put a little less flour and some cocoa to make chocolate. So there's a chocolate cranberry coconut cookie and a chocolate raspberry cashew cookie. Also you can make a spice dough. And so I just poured in a bunch of vanilla, or pardon me, a bunch of molasses instead of vanilla, which made it a little bit wet, and then I had to add a little bit more flour, and put in a bunch of cinnamon, and then we didn't have any of the normal things that you'd put into a spice dough, nutmeg, cloves, allspice, so I put some paprika in, and that was quite lovely.
Really?
Yeah, they're a good cookie.
I didn't put a lot.
You were there.
Yeah. I ate some, but theoretically, I don't think you told me there was paprika in it.
Yeah. So I didn't put a lot of paprika, and I tasted it every time before I added any more, but it was really good. And so those ones, there's a peach cashew one, and a cherry walnut one. And then I also made chocolate chip cookies and candy berries, I already said, cranberry white chocolate. Those are like all the ones that I made with the same dough. And then I also made a stained glass cookie, which was the vanilla dough. And, oh, one other thing about the cookies, though, is for the different kinds, I would mix in, say I was doing cherry and walnut. So I mixed in dried cherries and walnuts, And then I rolled it into a log in wax paper, put it in wax paper, and then I would form it into a shape, either a square, a triangle, or a circle, so that you could tell them apart. And then I put it in the fridge in the long log. Then the next day I took it out and sliced them, maybe a quarter of an inch thick, and then baked them. So while there are many cookies of the same color, they're all different shapes, so you can tell them apart. And then I made star cookies that are really pretty, that we can maybe put a picture of on the website,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, totally. They're really pretty.
So you just roll out the dough and cut stars with a larger star cookie cutter. Cut the dough, and then inside the center of the stars, do a smaller star cookie cutter in the center. Then take them out and separate the small stars from the large stars. Put the large stars on an ungreased pan with tin foil on it. So you're putting them on tin foil.
Okay.
The reason that you do that is because it takes a long time for them to cool and you can't take them off. So you have more cookies than you do have pans. So put it on tin foil, and then you can take the tin foil out of the pan and then use the pan again with more tin foil. And put the big star on, and then take a Jolly Rancher or a lemon drop or a different kind of hard candy and put it in the center. Takes about 1.5 lifesavers if you're using lifesavers. But the yellow and the orange and kind of the white, they screw up. I don't know why. They make the star look not that nice. So the other kinds are better, and Jolly Ranchers are the best. Put it in, bake it for probably 12 minutes. When it's a tiny, tiny bit brown on the bottom, take them out, and the candy should have melted and filled in the hole of the star. And then let it cool completely on the tinfoil.
Because otherwise it will stick, right?
Yeah. And, or, if you take it off right after it's out of the oven, the candy will just spread everywhere, and it'll be a disaster. Which happened a couple of times by mistake. And then once it's cool, you can peel them off, and it's really easy to take them off. And then they're really beautiful, translucent stained glass star
cookies.
And
you make stained glass also.
Yes.
That's not
real
eatable.
Glass. No. Yeah. You don't want to eat that. Yeah, that was kind of my funnest favorite cookie.
You feel like it was your favorite one.
It was very labor intensive, but it was really pretty and also very impressive. Yeah, that's kind of all the cookies, I think. Oh, and I made some brownies and some scones and muffins.
So I have a few questions that I thought of while you were describing all of that. Do you have advice for people who are making cookies when they're combining ingredients? Like, you know, like, you were saying, like, pumpkin seeds, raspberry jam. Like, some advice around combining things.
So, look at the color of your dough and the color of the things. So, you want taste and aesthetic. So, aesthetically, you want to usually put two things in because you don't want to overwhelm it. And those two things should be different colors and different color than the dough, ideally. So, they kind of, like, it looks really cool. And then taste, I don't know, like usually like a dried fruit and a nut or a seed, but also try and have some, or like a chocolate and a dried fruit, try and have some that don't have nuts for folks that have allergies. And basically take those two things and put them in your mouth and see if they taste good together. And you can also just do tester cookies. So when I was, before I decided what to do some of them, I just were like, I wonder what these taste like in a cookie, and are just in a batch of other cookies, I just put a bit of dough aside and make one random cookie.
And that's the benefit of using the same dough, I guess.
Yeah.
Susan, yeah. Here we are.
So these guys are, they're not, they, I touch them and my finger makes a little bit of a fingerprint in it, so they're not quite ready. So I can tell you about some of the chocolates that I made.
Yeah.
So the two chocolates that I told you are the easiest, but there are some other really easy chocolates. So kind of already told you how to do truffles. I don't know the real way, but I think that's kind of like the real way of doing them. Molds are very impressive. You can get some chocolate molds, but you could also get ice cube trays that are silicone. So I borrowed all our neighbors' silicone ice cube trays. So I have hearts and stars and long bars, which aren't that good because they're a little too narrow.
And the neat thing about the silicone ones is that they're bent.
Yeah.
You can bend them. Like, that's why you want the silicone ones.
So
right?
Yeah, you can. They're really malleable, so you put your stuff in the freezer, let it harden, and then you just pull on it from all sides, and you just pop everything out. And it's a lot easier. I have some tin chocolate molds that I just, like, throw on the table sometimes for, like, 10 minutes to get one single little chocolate out of the mold.
Yeah, so, not enjoyable.
Yeah, silicone is the way to go in a lot of things in life, actually. Yeah, so I made different shapes for every different kind of chocolate, or I somehow marked the chocolate. So anything with nuts on has, like, a white chocolate line on it, or some other kind of clear indicator that it has nuts. And so there's easy ones like Rice Krispies. So you just pour a bunch of Rice Krispies into the chocolate. It's like a crunch bar.
Mm.
And you can just do blobs of them, or you can do them in a mold. If you're doing them in a mold, put some chocolate in the mold and let it harden first. Otherwise, your mold's going to look all screwed up. It won't take the shape because the Rice Krispies are too solid, and it won't actually shape properly. We dip some Turkish Delight in chocolate.
Mm.
Some watermelon 5-cent candies.
Those were really good.
They're really good.
Those.
Yeah, my friend came over and brought those, and I was like, whoa, buddy. But they were really good. Also, those like bulk store rice crackers are really good, just dipped in chocolate individually, but they're very labor-intensive.
Why?
Because like every time you dip something individually in chocolate, usually you do two dips.
Mm.
One on one side, and you put it on wax paper and let it dry, and then you do the other side.
Yeah, that is really
important. So the rice crackers are really small, and they're really finicky. The other way you can do it is with a spoon, and you have two spoons, and you put, say, the rice cracker into the spoon, and then in the chocolate. I got chocolate all on my finger. And then you take the other spoon and pour it on top, and then you dump it on the, and you kind of like put it back and forth between the two spoons a bit to get as much chocolate off as possible, and then put it on the wax paper. And the difference between those two methods is one will leave a shape, like a piece of chocolate shape flat on the wax paper, and the other will be more of a perfect shape to the thing that you're dipping. So if you want to try and preserve the shape, you got to do a double dip. Also, just like chopped up some candy ginger. Put in chocolate for people that like candy ginger. They say those are good. Coconut, you can just like take coconut and mix it with chocolate and dump it onto
like shaved
paper.
Coconut.
Yeah, yeah. A whole coconut might be a little awkward.
Or coconut milk.
Yeah. No.
No.
But and we did that, and then we put a cranberry in the center. My friend Chris and I, and then we called them dragon's eggs. And they're quite yummy.
Why did you call them dragon's eggs?
Because they look like nests, but the eggs are bright red.
Okay.
So, dragons. And also pretzels are...
Yeah.
You can do a single dip even with a pretzel, and people are still impressed. But most of my pretzels, I half did dark chocolate and half white chocolate. And there's another really easy thing you can do, which is you can just take a bunch of different nuts, or even just like... pumpkin seeds and soy nuts or whatever, and dried fruit, chop up the dried fruit if using like peaches or apples or apricots or something, stir it all together in a bunch of chocolate. You want to make sure that all of it is covered and it's like a little bit wet still, not so it's not like a really solid thing, and spread it on wax paper, spread it out, and then you could put another piece of wax paper on top and flatten it to give it like a bar kind of thing, let it cool. Let it really cool, and then take the wax paper off the top, and then cut it into little squares, and that's like a fruit and nut bar.
So it's like, I was trying to imagine how much chocolate, like enough chocolate to hold it all together.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, and maybe a little bit extra. Like the ones I did this year were maybe a bit too little chocolate, so it's like really chewy. It's really good, but. Like a little bit of space in between every chunk of fruit is kind of nice sometimes.
Yeah, that's true.
So the wafers, the chocolate wafers that we made are hard. So now what we're going to do is take the caramel and, you usually want 2 spoons because otherwise you get it all over your fingers. So you just take it and it's all gooey. Fill up 1 spoon with it and scrape it off onto the chocolate with the other spoon.
And how much caramel would you describe that you're putting on?
Like, probably a teaspoon.